Hey, welcome back here to the Semi Seminary. Today we turn to the book of Malachi, Israel's final prophet before 400 years of silence. The temple has been rebuilt, the rituals restored, but the heart of God's people still fractured, still wandering, still needing more than tradition can offer. And into that space, God doesn't send applause, he sends fire. This message, The Fire Refines, walks us through one of the hardest, holiest truths in Scripture, that the presence of God purifies everything it touches. But more than that, we're glad you've come and joined us. This isn't just a sermon. It's Sunday morning here in our little church in Oklahoma. Coffee's still warm, the pews a little creaky, but the people are real. And it may not be Sunday where you are, but it is right now in your headphones, and we are glad you're here. So, take a breath. Settle in. Whether you're walking the dog, folding laundry, driving down some long back road, join us for worship. I'll see you on the other side. I want to begin this morning by going ahead and just saying this first, that this is a sermon that you should leave from here feeling a little bit disturbed by. Or there's also the chance that you may leave this sermon today and you go, I don't feel the tension the pastor warned me about when he started. And both of those responses are going to tell you something about where you are on your spiritual journey. So this is for everyone to hear. We're in week number 3, our final week of our series that we've been calling After the Wreckage. Today is After the Wreckage, The Fire Refines. And if you've been tracking with us, you'll know that we've been walking through what happens after the dust settles, after the exile ends, after judgment lands, and somehow, impossibly, you are still standing. Week 1, we looked at the Watergate with Ezra. The temple was going up, but it looked like nothing. The word had returned. People had forgotten their story and they wept. Not because the law had crushed them, because it had reminded them who they really are. We stood in the rubble with Haggai, falling into the comparison trap of the previous temple of Solomon. God reminding us, peace be with you. Because, and we recalled last week, glory isn't your job. Presence is his job, not yours. But today, we're in Malachi. The last voice in the Old Testament before 400 years of silence. And Malachi doesn't bring comfort. He brings fire. This is the hardest of our series. Maybe the hardest text of the whole lectionary cycle. Because Malachi isn't interested in making you feel better about who you are. He's interested in preparing you for what's coming. And what's coming is God himself. And I wonder if you've ever had a scenario like this. You ever prayed for God to show up? I mean, really? Show up in my life. And then you realize halfway through the prayer that maybe you're really not ready for what you just asked for. that maybe God's presence isn't that warm, fuzzy thing you thought it was going to be? That's where we are in Malachi chapter 3. That's the very fire we're standing in today. It's somewhere around 450 BC, maybe a little later. The temple has been rebuilt now 70 years. The walls are up. The sacrifices are happening. Priests are going through the motions. And it looks like covet faithfulness from the outside. But the prophet Malachi sees something else. He sees priests offering blind and lame animals on the altar. Sacrifices so pathetic they wouldn't even be given to the governor for taxes, let alone to God. He sees people withholding tithes, cheating workers out of their wages, oppressing widows and orphans. He sees men divorcing the wives of their youth to marry younger women. He sees a people who survived exile, but never actually repented. They came back to the land. They rebuilt the temple. They reestablished the rituals. But their hearts were still in Babylon. And so they're asking the question that people always seem to ask when they're going through the motions. Where is the God of justice? If he is so holy, if he's so righteous, why doesn't he do something about all this mess? And God answers through Malachi. You want me to show up? You want me to bring justice? All right. But understand something. When I come, I'm not just coming for them, coming for you too. Behold, I send my messenger and he will prepare the way before me. And then this. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? Because the God they're asking to show up isn't coming to congratulate them on their mediocre temple or their half-hearted obedience. He is coming to refine them. So close your eyes. Come with me. Standing in the temple courtyard. It's early morning. Sun is just starting to light up the eastern wall. Smoke from the morning sacrifice is rising. Thin, pale smoke from an animal costs almost nothing. The kind of offering you might give if you were just checking a box, not when you're meeting God. And you're there because you're supposed to be. Because it's the Sabbath. Because it's what covenant people do. But your mind is somewhere else. On the bills. On the argument you had last night. On the question you've been carrying for months. If God is still here, why doesn't it feel like it? If the covenant still holds, why does everything still feel broken? And you hear it, Malachi, the prophet, the old man who refuses to let anybody be comfortable. He's not shouting. He doesn't have to. His voice cuts through the courtyard like a blade through leather. You say, where's the God of justice? You want him to show up. You want him to act. Then brace yourself. Because he is coming. And when he arrives, he will not be impressed with your excuses of your rituals or your selective obedience. And you feel your chest tighten just a little bit. Because part of you wants God to show up. Part of you is desperate for Him to fix everything that's wrong. But then another part of you, the part that knows what you've been hiding, what you've been justifying, what you've been calling fine when it's not. That part of you suddenly isn't so sure you want God to get any closer. Because Malachi isn't finished. He will be like a refiner's fire, like Fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver. And you realize, God isn't coming to affirm you. He's coming to burn away everything in you that isn't Him. Hear the word of the Lord, friends, the prophecy of Malachi, in his third chapter, verses 1 through 4. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, and they will bring offerings of righteousness to the Lord. Then the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old, as in the former years. This, my friends, is the word of the Lord. And you hear that, and you don't know whether to run toward it or run away from it. Because on the one hand, this is what you've been asking for. God showing up. God making things right. God bringing justice and restoration. And finally fixing what's been broken since exile. But on the other hand, Malachi isn't promising comfort. He's promising us fire. And fire doesn't ask permission before it burns. Fire isn't gentle. The fire is not therapeutic. It doesn't care about your feelings or your timeline or your excuses. It burns at the necessary temperature to separate what's precious from what's worthless. And that process hurts. But here's the thing. The refiner doesn't burn metal to destroy it. He burns it to purify it, to remove the dross, to reveal what's actually valuable underneath all of the impurities. God isn't coming to annihilate his people. He's coming to refine them because he loves them too much to let them stay as they are. So, let me ask you something. What are you hoping God doesn't notice? What is that thing you've been justifying? The compromise you've been calling wisdom, the pattern you have been excusing as, it's just who I am, the bitterness you have been feeding, the greed you have baptized as ambition. What's that thing? If God showed up in your living room tomorrow morning, you would scramble to hide. Maybe it's the way you talk about people when they're not around. That casual cruelty that you call honesty. That gossip you frame as concern. Maybe it's the way you manage your money, the corners you cut, the debts you ignore. The way that you have really convinced yourself that God doesn't care about your finances as long as you're generally a good person. Maybe it's the marriage you've given up on. Not officially. You're still in the house, still wearing the ring. But emotionally, mentally, checked out years ago. And you made peace with it. Because at least you're not divorced. Maybe it's the anger, the simmering resentment that's been calcifying in your chest for so long you don't even remember what it's like to not feel bitter anymore. Maybe it's that secret, that thing nobody else knows. The part of your life that is completely disconnected from everything else you present to the world. Malachi is saying God is coming. And when he arrives, he's bringing fire. Not the fire of destruction, but the fire of purification. The kind of fire that burns away every single thing that is not supposed to be there. And the question isn't whether the fire is coming or not. The question is, who can endure it? Because here's the problem. We have been trained to think of God's presence as a feeling. A warm glow, a sense of peace, something that makes us feel better about ourselves. We pray for God to be near. We sing songs about wanting more of him. We ask him to show up in our worship services and in our small groups and in our lives. But we want God on our terms. We want the comfort without the confrontation, the blessing without the refinement, the presence without the holiness. And Malachi exposes that delusion, because the God who shows up in Malachi 3 isn't the God of I'm okay, you're okay. He is the God who says, I love you too much to leave you this way. The Israelites in Malachi's day wanted God to bring justice, but only to their enemies. They wanted him to fix what was wrong in the world, but not what was wrong with them. They wanted revival, but without repentance. And God says, no, that's not how this works. You don't get to ask me to show up and then dictate to me what I'm allowed to touch when I get there. The refiner's fire doesn't give you veto power. It burns at the necessary temperature to do its work. And that means things that you have been holding on to, things you have convinced yourself are fine, things you have justified, things you have hidden, friend, they are going to burn. Not because God is mean, but because God is thorough. So, let's talk for a moment about what a refiner actually does. Because Malachi uses this image for a very specific reason.
In the ancient world, when you wanted to purify silver or gold, you put the metal in a crucible and set it over fire. The heat would melt the metal and bring out all of the impurities, the dross, the worthless stuff mixed in, brings it to the surface. And then the refiner would skim it off. But here's the critical part. The refiner couldn't walk away. He had to sit there and watch the whole process. Because if the fire burned too hot or too long, the metal would be destroyed. If the fire didn't burn long enough or hot enough, the impurities would remain. The refiner set as a refiner of and a purifier of silver. So he stayed. He watched. He did not leave the metal in the fire 1 second longer than necessary. And when did he know the process was complete? When he could see his own reflection in the metal. Do you hear that? God isn't throwing you into the fire and walking away. He is sitting right there, watching, attending, refining with precision and with care. Not 1 degree hotter than necessary, not 1 moment longer than required. And he's not finished until he can see his own image reflected in you. That, friends, is covenant love. And that's not cruelty. That's faithfulness. The God who refines is the same God who brought us out of Egypt. The same God who made a covenant with you when you were nothing. The same God whose spirit remains in your midst. He's not abandoning you in the fire. He's attending the fire. Because the goal is not your destruction. The goal is your purification. So what do we do with this? Well, here's the word for us today. Stop running from the fire. Stop pretending you don't need refining. Stop hiding what needs to be burned away. Stop asking God to show up while simultaneously negotiating which parts of your life he's allowed to touch or not. Because God is coming, not someday, not eventually. He's already here, and he's already brought the fire. The question is, are you going to let the fire do its work? Because here's what I know. The thing that needs to burn is the thing you're most afraid to surrender. The compromise you've been justifying, the bitterness you've been feeding, the pattern you have convinced yourself again is just the way you are. And God is saying, no, that is not who you are. That's what's covering who you are. So let me burn it away. And my loved ones, this is not about trying harder. It's not about pulling yourself together or cleaning yourself up before God can get close. It's about standing still in the refiner's fire and trusting the God who brought you this far is not about to abandon you now. The offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old, not because the people finally got impressive, but because the refiner had finished his work. And here is the promise that will carry us into Advent. The God who refines is the God who descends. 400 years after Malachi, the messenger shows up, John the Baptist in the wilderness, preparing the way. And then Jesus, God in the flesh, walks into the very temple Malachi prophesied about. And what does he do when he gets there? He refines. He overturns tables. He calls out hypocrisy. He challenges the religious leaders who've been going through the motions for generations. But he also touches lepers. He sits and eats with sinners. He forgives the woman caught in adultery. He dies on a cross to bear the very fire of judgment we all deserve. The refining fire Jesus warned you about, Jesus walked into it for you. So, when God looks at you, he doesn't just see the dross. He sees his son's reflection. That's the gospel. That's the whole story. The God who refines is the God who redeems. So hear this today. The walls are up. The word is returned. The temple is standing. And now the fire comes, not to destroy you, to refine you. And not because God is angry, but because he loves you too much to let you stay this way. The covenant, friends, still holds. The promise endures. And the refiner is sitting beside the fire, watching, waiting, until he can see his own image reflected in you. So stop running, stop hiding, stop negotiating. Let the fire do its work. Because here's what God has always done. He refuses to let covenant die. Not through judgment alone, not through restoration alone, not through refining alone, but through his own very presence, through becoming one of us. That's where this whole thing is going. That's why he's coming, Emmanuel, God with us. Because, guys, God descending to the earth and becoming one of us in the person of Jesus, that is not plan B when refinement fails. Jesus is not a backup plan. It is the inevitable conclusion of a God who loves covenant, a God who desires a relationship with us more than distance, more than law, more than even your capacity to change. He's coming. And when he does, the refined will be able to recognize him. Amen? Amen.
Well, church, that's the fire. Malachi doesn't bring warm comfort, but it does bring holy clarity. We've seen today that God isn't content to leave us half-formed. He doesn't walk away after the exile. He doesn't shrug at half-hearted worship. He comes close. He brings the heat. Not to destroy, but to purify. To draw out the gold from the dross. And the good news is he's still doing it. The fire that remains is the presence that restores. And if something in you today stirred, if the Spirit nudged you or named something you've been hiding, you're not alone. This little church in Oklahoma is full of people who know what it means to be refined. And we are walking through that fire together. If this message meant something to you, we invite you to throw your old like in the offering plate like we used to do at church. Leave a review. Share it with somebody. Subscribe so you don't miss when those church bells ring again and we flip the lights back on. But more than anything, we hope you keep showing up, because we believe the refiner isn't done yet. Not with us, not with you. And hey, until next time, be blessed.
Listen up, saints. This ain't no live stream gospel show. We're preaching under the tin roof tonight. You want to keep this fire burning? Then toss that like right into the plate. It tells the angels this old tent's still full. Come on now, throw it in the plate.